your New Year's resolutions? How many of you have given up on them already? I make one every year, and a couple years ago it finally happened. I had made it for about 37 years. I kept making this one resolution that I was going to lose weight. And finally at age 37, I was 378 pounds. And morbidly obese, had high blood pressure, I had diabetes, sleep apnea. My doctor called it the big three that you definitely don't want to have any of, but when you have the big three, it's even worse. And so finally, I got blessed with an opportunity to give me the tools that I needed in order to make it happen. And I lost altogether 160 pounds. And now you see this amazing specimen standing before you today. Thank you very much. So is this on now? Is it still not working? Okay. So New Year's resolutions are part of life, and everybody does it. This is the time of year where we get to just start over. And some of us are real thankful for that, aren't we? I heard a lot of people on Facebook saying that they were very grateful that 2012 was over. I didn't think it was that bad. It was definitely challenging. I didn't think it was a horrible year like some people were acting. But I will say this. I can honestly say I'm looking forward to 2013. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to it. Good things happening. But as I was thinking about the words starting over, and we're starting a series called that, and we're going to talk about several different variations of starting over. I remember being about, 10, 11 years old, and ESPN was just starting to come on TV. Now, today, we know ESPN is, owned by Disney, they're a worldwide conglomerate. They're this big, big company, and they're kind of cool, and they have restaurants, and they have the Wide World of Sports over here, and all kinds of cool stuff like that. But back in the day, does anybody remember when ESPN started? There was hardly anything to watch if it wasn't evening time. Like, there was no reruns that they could show. There was nothing. It was just this really poorly programmed VHS copies of, like, billiards tournaments in Reno. Anybody else remember this? Am I the only one? All right. Or dart throwing championships. I mean, who watches that? And so I remember when it first came on, and we were kind of intrigued with the novelty of ESPN, and it was like, wow, they're going to show sports all the time. And then you turn it on, and you're watching some guy, juggle with one hand while, doing something crazy. I mean, it was boring. But I remember one day I got fascinated with a trick shot billiards TV show. And this guy just made it look so easy. He took two cue sticks and put them in the corner, one corner, and then he walked around to the other corner, took a third cue stick, stuck it on the table, put an eight ball in the middle of it, and then using the stick in front of him, he raised it up. And I looked all over YouTube trying to find this clip, and I could not find it. He raised up perfectly in the middle, eight balls there, props it up, then walks back down to the other end, takes his cue stick and the cue ball, knocks the eight ball off without knocking the sticks down. It goes into the pocket. And it looked so easy. And I was like, I can do that. So I went to my grandfather's house. My grandfather had a pool table down in the basement. And so we went, and I got down there, and I put the cue sticks just like he did, came over and put the other cue stick there and put the eight ball out in the middle. And I was like, all right, here we go. And I go to raise it up, and I realized at that point that was the hardest part of the trick because those sticks did not want to stay lined up, and they started falling this way. So then I would put it back together and stick it all back in there, and I would raise it up again. And I am not exaggerating here. I know over the course of the next 6 months, I tried that trick at least 5,000 times. And every time I would get real close to getting it propped up there and the ball would fall off or one of the sticks would shift, and I'd be so discouraged and I'd have to start again. And so then I put it on there, and I'm not joking when I say this, it literally took me 3 years of trying to get that part of the trick up. Once I got that part of the trick up, I had not the heart to shoot anything at it because I was afraid I would never get it back up there. So I stopped there. But the thing is I kept trying, and I kept starting over. And every time I would get so close, and I would get so, it was so right there, just right there, and it would fall. And I would start again. 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 My brother-in-law and sister-in-law are here today, Jody's younger sister and her husband, Brian and Jenny. And if you watch TBN ever, you've probably seen Brian and Jenny on there. They're on quite frequently. They're regulars on there and sing all over the world for just about everybody. And Brian and I had Christmas together a few years ago, and we got a video game, the Lord of the Rings Return of the King video game for PlayStation. Now, I'm sorry if you don't speak game nerd. Sorry. Anyway, but we got to playing it on Christmas night, and we got to this one board, and we just kept getting defeated. And so, I mean, it's like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and Brian looks at me and he goes, okay, it's getting late. If we don't defeat this in like 30 more tries, I'm going to bed. And that just popped in my head, thinking about things if we're starting over. We hit that reset button, I can't tell you how many times. Listen, there is great freedom in starting over. And you know what, we've kind of looked at it as a bad thing. Oh, I got to start all over. And I understand investing time. And I understand pouring your heart and soul into something. And I understand, I get that. And I get that you feel like you've worked so hard without the results you were wanting. And you have to start over. Even if things in life or challenges that we face become life-altering, or they become devastating, or they became such a hard process that it really zaps our motivation. Listen, you can always start over. You can always start over. All right? Even if you've gone through one phase of something and you get to the end of it and you've completed it and you've looked back at it and it's finished, that doesn't mean you're finished. You can start over. Nothing is over until we've left this life. And even when we leave this life, we start over somewhere else. Come on, somebody, that's good. Nothing is over until we leave, all right? Starting over is what we're going to talk about all month long here in January. I believe it's very appropriate and something everybody does every January. But F. Scott Fitzgerald said this, vitality shows in not only the ability to persist, but in the ability to start over. Listen, starting over is a sign that you're still alive. Starting over is a sign that you're still functioning and still able to do something with your life. You're still valuable. You're still full of potential. You still have a divine purpose in this life. You're not a failure. Come on, somebody. You're not weak. You're not doomed to be average. You can start over. You are still full of creativity, full of power, full and a force to be reckoned with here on the world if you'll just get up and start over. Even if you finish and you go, yeah, I'm going to retire now. That usually lasts about 8 months. And then people start going, I'm bored. Guess what? That means you're not done. It's time to get up and start over, all right? Starting over is not something that is uncommon, and we need to get past that. Listen, God himself had to start over. Go ahead, and you're there in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air. I think that's so cool the Bible says this, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was just a man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked up, looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Other translations of the Bible will say this, that God was grieved, that God actually repented to himself for creating man. And this is God that we're talking about. Now, that's another translation. Another translation does say he was full of sorrow. So what did he do? God started over. He found one man and his family who was still full of potential, who was still full of love for him, and was still righteous in his sight. He started over. By him starting over, he then decided that everyone from that point on would have their own ability to start over. That's why we have the rainbow, that God made a promise with Noah. He said, listen, I will never start mankind over again. It's basically going to be up to them from now on. If God started over, why can't we? Jesus had to start over. John 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said these words, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now, we all know that he was finished here on the earth, but when he left here, he didn't just go sit down somewhere and say, I'm done. We know that he went to hell and preached captivity to the captives and stripped the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil. And came. What did he have to do? He had to go start over. He had spent 30 years or 33 years here on the earth working and building the kingdom and developing his disciples and feeding the multitudes and building his ministry. And he did all that for 33 years, roughly 3 years of him really intense we know about. But for 33 years he was here doing something. And then he ends his life here and has to go start over again. What's he got to do? He's got to go to hell and start over, telling the same things that he's told everybody else for the last 3 years. I am the Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting for. He started over. And we all know the Bible says that he led captivity captive. So he went down there and finished his job down there. And he went to heaven, and he had to start over again there. Because now he went from being the Son of God on earth to being the perfect sacrifice. He had to start over to become our intercessor. But now that's his current job, is he sits on the right hand of God, talking to God for us. But guess what? That day, one day that's going to come to an end. He's got to start over again. Come on, as the King of Kings, that's going to come to earth on a white horse and take us out of here. But he starts over again. See, Jesus has a pattern of starting over. We can have a pattern of starting over. If Jesus and the Father started over, we should not be afraid to start over ourselves. All that hard work, though, Brent, I poured my life and my soul into this, and it just kind of blew up in my face. Friends, it's not the final answer. It's not the period at the end of your life. It's a comma. All right? The Bible references 78 times, okay, that things are new, or new creation, or God doing something new. 78 times. Now, here's some of the more well-known ones. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's the English Standard Version. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 18 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And we could go on and read 75 more scriptures where the Bible talks about new things, new beginnings, new starts in your life. This should not be something that you dread. It shouldn't be something that you're afraid of. It should be something that you embrace. Your slate has been wiped clean. All the stuff that you've been putting up with, the headaches that you've been working so hard to get through. Well, one way to look at it is you don't have to have the headache anymore. Now you can go and create something new. Because it's not over. Real quick, I want to say these things to you. Starting over requires three things. Starting over requires three things. Number one, ignore what everyone and everything is saying to you. How do you say something saying something to me? Yeah, the circumstances that are going on around you. You need to ignore everything those things are saying and everything someone's telling you. People will tell you, you know, you better take it easy. Don't rush it. Don't get, oh, man, you just, you know, you got hurt that, and or, you know, man, that was so devastating to you. And listen, people will be, your best friends even, will be some of the strongest people that stand up and tell you no. All right? I was reading the other day on Forbes.com, and I came across this article by a lady named Susanna Breslin. And she said this, once you start the process, you'll discover how frightening it is. She's talking about starting over. Not to you, because you're in it. And then she puts in quotation marks, the fish doesn't know that it's wet. But starting over can be terrifying to those around you. Check this out. It upsets their teacups. It makes them question their own lives. It causes them to wonder why they can't do what you're doing. Sometimes, though, it will inspire people, which is good, because here's what you want to do in life, what you don't want to do in life, conform. Here's what you do want to do in life, inspire. And when you look at this, you know, I immediately thought of Job's friends. Job's going through the worst trial of his life, and he had friends come and just jump right on the penny bandwagon with him. And you know what? I honestly, now I don't know what your interpretation of the book of Job is, but I believe that that all could have been over with real quick. Because as soon as he repented and got his heart right, it turned around like that. And it says that he went ahead and became richer than he was and had more children than he had. He started over. But listen, he listened to his friends for a while. And even though they were trying to sound righteous, oh, you've sinned against God. Oh, you need to go. They just talked him right into staying there. Listen, if you're going to start over, you don't need to listen to everybody that you've been listening to. Some people, you just need to tell you, thanks, I love you, but I'm not going to hear that right now. I was a youth pastor for 20 years, and my kids would have said it this way, I ain't trying to hear that, see? Job's friends talked him into staying in the middle of his trial. And they said everything about God that wasn't true. And actually, later on in the verse, God was angry at them for saying those things. Right? People who don't change are never anyone new. They're always the people who they were. The question you have to ask yourself is that who you want to be? All right? Number two, let yourself be happy. It's okay to enjoy your life and have happiness and joy. And you know, all you got to do is turn on the TV right now. And you know what? People will tell you, it's almost like you should feel guilty for having a good life. If you're happy about something, it's almost like people want you to feel guilty about it. Listen, I understand there's people hurting out there. And I was so pleased with this church, the way you guys rose to the occasion. We were able to help 9 families at Christmas that had nothing. I mean, they didn't have any money to get presents. They had no food to eat. Nothing. We were able to bless 9 families with Christmas. And listen, that's part of the vision of this church. We're going to be doing a whole lot more of that. When we get going... And we get to the resources where we can help a lot more, we're going to help. It's going to be part of what we do regularly, all right? And I believe in that, and I am so, that's woven into me. We want to help those that need help and bless those that need blessing. But listen, I am not going to base my happiness on whether or not they're going through a hard time or not. My happiness comes from me doing what God's called me to do. And it's okay for me to be happy. And if I get to be successful at it, then guess what? I can be happy. Why? Because I'm walking in obedience to what God's called me to do. It's not wrong to be happy with your life. All right? It's okay to enjoy your life. Have happiness and joy. Have success in your business and at your job. It's okay. In this day and age, people will do their best to make you feel guilty of that. You can't have fun. You can't go do something incredible because there's starving pygmies down in New Guinea. Yes, there is, and we're sending a lot of help to them. There's people out there who lost their job. Yes, there are. And we're going to have seminars here that are going to help them try and find a new job. Those are the kind of things that we are. But listen, that's not what's going to make me happy. What's going to make me happy is me walking in obedience to what God's called me to do, and I am going to be happy with that. It's people that allow themselves to be happy that are now that allow new things to come into their life that can and through those new positive experiences, they start getting new ideas. Listen, if you just walk around miserable and you're just mad all the time, anybody know anybody like that? My wife said me. I know people like that, though. They're just, every time you, how you doing? Oh, well, I guess I'm all right. Really? Heard you got a raise. Well, yeah, it's only a dollar. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Know these people? It's only a dollar an hour. And they're just miserable all the time. And if those people, anything good that comes their way, they always look at it through a negative set of circumstances, and they never get any new ideas. They never do anything new. They never do anything exciting. They just sit there. Listen, it's when we're happy that when outside influences come, it changes us to go in a positive direction. That's why it's okay for you to be happy. That's why it's okay for you to enjoy your life and enjoy success. All right? John chapter 14, verse number 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled." What's Jesus saying there? Be happy. You believe in God, believe also in me. John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be," come on, "of good cheer, I have overcome the world." It's okay to be happy. Jesus told us to be happy. Be of good cheer. So go out, be happy, enjoy your life. Listen, you may have been hit with a horrible set of circumstances, but you're still breathing. You may have been hit with something terrible. You may have lost your job. You may have had a business collapse, but you're still here. So be happy where you are, because your happiness will allow the positive influences to change you and take you in a different direction. Lastly, a willingness to do something. A willingness to do something. There are a lot of excuses that you can think of. A lot of reasons you could talk yourself out of something. But if you're willing to do it, the fruit comes. I remember when I first started to lose weight, and I had lap band surgery, and you know, that's where they put the silicone band around your stomach. And the thing is when they first put it in there, it's just wide open. It's just like it's not even there. It's around your stomach, but that's it. And before I had my first, and what they do is they stick a needle in there, got a little port right here underneath my stomach. You go in there and they fill it up with saline. And when they fill it up with saline, it tightens up your stomach. So you get full faster. Metabolism kicks in, burns it off. That's how it works. Right? But the thing is it's not automatic. You can cheat it. And my doctor told me that. He was like, "Listen, this is going to take a tremendous amount of discipline. This is not going to be automatic for you." And before I went and got my first fill, my wife will tell you, I had to sit 2 weeks while my surgery scars healed up, little, waiting for the stitches to come out. Once those healed up and they told me it was okay, I got up and started walking. And I walked a mile, then 2 miles, 3 miles. I started walking 4 miles, and it was taking 2 miles. I didn't have time in my schedule. I mean, I was a youth pastor at a mega church. I ain't got time to turn around. And so I had to do the most dreaded thing ever, and that was to start jogging. Now, I played sports through high school. I was a basketball player and a football player, and I never ran. My coaches yelled at me all the time. We'd be running wind sprints and stuff like that. "Bailey, get in shape, run." I heard that all the time. We'd go in gym class, and one of my football coaches was our gym teacher, and I think that's the way it is at every high school. But anyway, he's like, "All right, today we're going to go to the cross-country track, and you guys are going to run cross-country." I'm like, "I ain't running nothing." And so I would start off running with the pack, and as soon as we got behind the bleachers where it disappeared in the cross-country track, I walked it. I never ran, ever. You know, short burst, and that's it. I'm a short burst guy. But I started jogging. And one day I just put my earbuds in, and I had one of those little Nike Plus things that talks to your shoes and tells you how far you've gone and how fast you're going, how many calories you're burning. And I just said, "You know what? I'm just going to start and I'm just going to see. I'm just going to run until I can't run no more. So I put on the music, and y'all know, most of you know, I'm a child of the 80s, so I like 80s music. Don't judge me. So I put on the 80s top 10 there and hit the shuffle button, and I started running. And I ran with the flock of seagulls, and I ran so far, and I just kept running. And then, you know, and then the eye of the tiger kicked on, and I was like, ooh, I feel better now. And I started running, it's the eye of the tiger. And I was like, you know, I mean, Brent. I mean, I'm imagining all this stuff in my mind, you know, and I'm just going. I'm doing it. All right? And then Van Halen comes on, jump. Might as well jump. And so I'm running like, ooh, yeah, let's jump. All right. I'm really getting with it. I'm doing it. And I finally got through the end of my top 10, you know, 80 songs that are on there. And I'm like, wonder how far I've gone. Because I'm still jogging. So I looked at the distance meter, and I'd gone 2 3/4 miles. And I was like, I've never done this in my life. I don't think if I added up all the times I ever ran, it wouldn't add up to 2.3 3/4 miles. This is a record for me. This is amazing. And before, and just by doing that kind of behavior, and I had to wait 6 weeks before I could get my first fill in my band. And when I went to get my first fill, I lost 27 pounds. Just from a willingness to get up and do something. Listen, you have to be willing to do it. And listen, at 370 pounds, my knees hurt, my back hurt. You know, I had all kinds of issues. And I could have talked myself right out of it. But it's just a willingness to get up to do it. And listen, I could tell you more stories from my life, but I found this clip on YouTube, and I just thought, wow, this is awesome. So let's go ahead and show that, and then we'll wrap it up.
Too hot. I'm not right. I've got shin splint, headache, I'm distracted. I'm exerting myself too much. I'd love to, really, but I can't. I just can't. My favorite show is on. I got a case of the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday. I don't want to do this. I'm going to do something else. After New Year's. Next week. Might make a mistake. I got homework. Well, I feel bloated. I have gas. I got a hot date. My coach hates me. Mom won't let me. I bruise easily. It's too dark. It's too cold. My blister hurts. This is dangerous. Sorry, I don't have a bike. I didn't get enough sleep. My tummy hurts. It's not in my jeans. I don't want to look all tired out. I need a better coach. I don't like getting tackled. I have a stomach ache. I'm not the athletic type. I want to get sweaty. I have better things to do. I don't want to slow you down. I have to do this? As soon as I get a promotion. I think I'll sit this one out. And my feet hurt. I'm too weak, too slow, too big, I ate too much for breakfast, got a headache, it's raining, my dog is sick, I can't right now, I'm not inspired, makes me smell bad, I'm allergic to stuff, I'm fat, I'm thin, it's too hot, I'm not right, I've got shin splints, headache, I'm distracted, I'm exerting myself too much, I'd love to really, but I can't, I just can't, my favorite show is...
And they've got footage of him taking on able-bodied, like, college athletes and schooling them in a wheelchair, all right? I've told some of you the story of my buddy Jeff Bardell, and I'll close with this. Jeff lost his arm, his right arm, on his 18th, just a few days before his 18th birthday. He was going to go to school to play baseball. Lost his right arm. And Jeff's going to come and be at the church with us sometime this year. But Jeff, long story short, was told he would never do anything again. You're basically done with sports. You're done with everything. Jeff went on to become an All-American in college in golf. And in 2005, I think, he broke the world record for the longest drive of a golf ball hit with one arm in the air. 250-some yards in the air, hitting it backhanded like this. I'm like, I don't know. I can hit it 250-some yards hitting it frontwards with both hands. He broke the world record. Guinness did a piece on him. ESPN did a piece on him. And he just had to have a willingness to get up and do it. I'm sure we don't feel like it. I'm sure you don't feel like doing these things. And I'm sure the echo of your past is talking to you, saying you did all this once before. But if you're willing to get up and do it, the fruit comes. I asked Jeff one time, I said, what was it like going to the driving range in those early days? And he goes, embarrassing. It was humiliating. Now when I've gone with him to the driving range before, and now crowds gather for a different reason. They gather around, they go, what's this guy going to do? And when they start seeing him I mean, he can hit it almost 300 yards now. He can kill it. And then people are like, whoa. But if he hadn't been willing to do it when he had no skills at all, no arm control at all, I mean, no, none, he wouldn't be able to do it. He would not have the platform that he has today. If you're willing to do it, the fruit will come. Now, this month, we're going to talk about starting over in three areas, and that'll be over the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about starting over when you've finished, starting over when you've screwed up or blown it, and starting over when you hit the wall. Those are what we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks, because I believe that in those, that should hit everybody. And in those three areas, you can get up and actually become the people God's created you to be. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for our time together today. We pray right now in Jesus' name that if there are people here that have finished or hit the wall or have maybe just blew something up, Father, I pray that you give them the encouragement they need today to get up and start over. Get up and do that thing you've called them to do. Starting over is not bad. It's a fresh start. Help us to see that today. Help us to become that today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask this question. There's quite a few people here today that I would say to you, one thing that you need to start over is the most important way of starting over, and that's what Christians, they actually call it that almost. They call it being born again. It's starting over. If you're in here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I just want to challenge you today. Start your life over. Become born again. Make Jesus the Lord of your life so that you can become what he's created you to be. Listen, I could preach a whole message on the potential that God puts on the inside of you. Listen, he doesn't create things just to come here and take up space. He creates people to come here and do something. And so if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I invite you to start over today. Would you just lift your hand up and say, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. We won't call you down front here. We don't make a big show out of it. I just want to know if I'm praying for somebody. Hey, praise God. I see no hands. I'll take it to mean that is everyone has started over. And inside that walk, I know I've started over many times. We'll get to that here in just a few weeks. All right, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, again, if there be any here today that don't know you, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit go with them today and let the words that I spoke ring in their ears. Lord, that they need you in their life. They need to start over. I ask that you just knock, continue knocking on the door of their heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Well, listen, the way we close around here, we usually wait to take the offering up at the end. And the thing we want to say to you today, if you're visiting with us, don't feel any pressure to put anything in the offering. We always consider the first service here is a gift service. And so we just encourage you, don't feel any pressure from us. The rest of you, you can see where your money's going. It's right here. This is what the people of Destination, or I guess we're Direction Church now, sorry. we had to change our name, for those of you who haven't been here. We had to change our name because there was another church in town who has a very similar name to ours. Not exactly the same, but similar enough to where the language written from their attorney is it causes confusion. And they asked us to change our name. And instead of fighting and making a big scene out of it, they were here first, so we just said, okay. Fair enough. So we're Direction Church now. And so you can see the people of Direction Church, your tithe dollars at work right here. This is why we're in this building, because you guys are so good and faithful at giving. Amen? Amen. So we're going to take up the offering, and let me pray first. Let me pray first. Then you can pass the buckets. All right. And then we're going to add one more thing to our closing. All right. Lord, thank you for meeting the needs of Direction Church. We thank you that you're meeting the needs of the people of Direction Church. Father, I pray, Lord, that as they follow your rules of giving and receiving, Lord, I pray that you would just move into their lives with unexpected increase, raises, promotions, business opportunities, closing of deals, Father, that it would be something that is a great testimony in their lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. You hold my word.